Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Don't forget to wear your condom.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here, Avi Miller over there.
Hello, kids.
We are also joined, of course, by listeners in Sydney.
On Star Observer Digital.
That's right.
We need a robot voice vocoder thing. Every time we say Star Observer Digital, it should sound like Tron. Star Observer Digital. Max Headroom kind of. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well.
I'll get the techno gaze kids onto it.
Okay. Thankfully, midsummer is over.
Yes, we don't have to listen to your stupid whip around sound. Oh, no, your delightful whip around side effect. Be very positive.
And more thankfully, we have Dr. George back in the house.
Hello. Hello, hello. I've survived midsummer as well. So.
Yes.
Holy crap.
It was a rather busy period, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a blur. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots happening. But yeah, it was a heap of fun and I hope everyone had as much enjoyment as I did.
Now, of course, most people up in Sydney and many people down here in Melbourne are now gearing up for Mardi Gras.
Absolutely.
Now, as they head up to Sydney or live in Sydney, one thing they may have to keep an eye out for is gonorrhea.
Absolutely.
There's been a bit of a spike happening.
Look, there has been a spike. There was a recent study done out of Sydney that was looking at throat swabs for gonorrhea. And we know that studies here in Melbourne showed that 1 in 20 people had gonorrhea in their throat and didn't even know about it. And that's certainly reflected in my practice in that I have a number of people who think I'm a bit odd that I want to swab their throat. And I'm saying, well, you never know. And I've had, more than a handful of positive gonorrhea swabs come back just this year. So
is gonorrhea something that you know you have, or does the symptoms not necessarily show up?
Look, if it's in your genitals, if it's in your penis, you know about it because it's rivers of pus. However,
that's the name of my band.
Sounds good. I'll be away from the stage.
You don't want to be in the splash zone from a rivers of pus concert, do you?
Well, not without some form of Glad wrap around my body and some azithromycin. Yes. But we'll talk about that later. But it's 1 in 200 people can have gonorrhea in their penis without knowing about it. But it's 1 in 20 people can have it either in their throat or their bum and have no symptoms. And it's easy to transmit. So you can go from throat to penis and penis to throat. Very, very, very easy to pass on. And easy to treat as
because
well.
There's very few people, I would imagine, use condoms for blowjobs. That's where the transmission come in.
That's what I found interesting about the article in the Sydney Morning Herald. I thought it was a little bit naive of the professor, and God bless him, he's a great guy, but he was sort of saying that people need to use condoms for oral sex. And I remember in the 80s occasionally using condoms for oral sex, particularly after I'd had my tonsils out, but I don't think I've seen anybody use a condom for oral sex in a very long time.
We did have Buck Angel in here last week, and he uses condoms in his adult entertainment movies and for all types of sex, including oral sex.
Okay. Well, horses for courses, but it's an interesting divergence from the other trend that's happening in American porn, which is bareback for cash, which... Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of.
You see, I like the way Falcon Studios are approaching it. They're using digital technology to digitally remove the condoms from their movies.
I don't understand why they would do that, though, because
they know people want to buy bareback porn, but they don't want to put their models... They don't want their models to have bareback porn. So this provides the bareback porn for their consumer while it reduces the risk for their performer. It's an interesting way of approaching
the issue. I understand
that,
but I'm wondering from a community, from a sociological point of view, how, what we're not doing is we're not eroticizing condoms. It's that annoying thing you have to do that makes your dick go wobbly. what about teaching people how to put on condoms with their mouth? What about other ways of eroticizing condoms? And for the latex fetishists out there, oh my God, there's all sorts of things.
And then there have been quite a lot of great progression in condom manufacture. They're not just the massively thick latex condoms of yesteryear. Yeah. There's some really good,
there's different,
really thin.
And was it last year that they developed a condom that could be opened one-handed and put on one-handed?
Yeah, it almost looks like a concertina style, just sort of unfolds.
Yeah, and that's a great idea, because we don't often think about what if somebody's had a stroke? What if somebody's had an amputation? We never really think about that sort of stuff.
So condoms for blowjobs are an option, obviously.
Absolutely, they're an option. Whether or not they're palatable to the general community, Tish, I'm not sure.
Strawberry-flavoured ones might be.
Oh, no, they're not really strong. No.
I remember those. And yeah. I remember the mint one kind of left everything burning. It's like,
so the question I have is there any way to determine visually?
Oh, no. Who's going to go around a bloody sauna with a pen?
No. Not for me to check somebody else, but if I'm concerned about myself, that I'm not symptomatic, but is there a way for me to sort of visually go...
I suppose you could have a look in the back of your throat and you may see pus there. It might just be red and sore. It might be nothing.
Okay.
It might be nothing. Certainly the people that I've swabbed, I've not seen pus in the back of their throat.
Right.
I've not seen it. It's, you know, it could have been an early stage or a late stage, but it's important that it gets treated.
And it goes back to that just test regularly. If you're having regular sex, you should be having regular tests.
Absolutely. And proper testing. If your doctor isn't asking about the practices that you have, then you need to find somebody who does. And so it should involve, if you've had oral sex, a swab in the throat. If you've had fingers, toys, penises, anything up your bum, there has to be two swabs of the bum for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and a urine test for chlamydia, blood tests for syphilis, HIV, and it's always worthwhile to check hepatitis status for A, B, and C.
And for gonorrhea in particular, treatments, what, one pill, two pill? Is it a penicillin?
Well, what we know is that there's a lot of concurrent infections with gonorrhea and chlamydia, so what we recommend is an injection in the bum. And that's not too bad a treatment, plus two tablets, which will treat chlamydia if it could be there.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dr. George is joining us also on Star Observer Digital. We'll be back to continue our chat with Dr. George right after this. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy and Star Observer Digital.
The information provided by our health professional is general in nature and is not intended to replace personal medical advice. Always take responsibility for your physical and mental health by consulting your personal doctor.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you. And Dr. George, our healthy bear, is back.
I'm back.
Yay.
I'm back. Yay.
And you're going to continue to join us every month?
I hope so.
Fantastic.
For as long as you amuse me.
I'm sure I can.
I'm sure you can too. Now, everybody has seen in the news recently celebrities who have either tragically passed away due to overdose or have been potentially wandering around large capitals. And I wanted to revisit with you, George, let's start with the signs that you may have an issue with drugs and alcohol, that your use of drugs and alcohol is crossing a line, if you like.
Look, absolutely. I think when it comes to substance use, more often than not, it crosses over with other mental health issues like anxiety, depression, bipolar, various things like that. And it's important that both issues are addressed at the same time. You can't really treat depression if you don't treat alcohol misuse or something like that. But the big signs are, what is the impact that your substance use is having on you? If you're spending all of your money, if you are unable to attend work because of hangovers and stuff like that, is it impacting your friends and family? When you start looking at the impact of these substances, that's when you should think, gee whiz, you know, more than 2/3 of my paycheck went to alcohol. That's disturbing. That's worrying, you know.
And on the flip side, you know, Beyond Blue has a lot of projects around this, but if I'm concerned about someone, what are some of the signs that I should be looking for? I mean, I don't want to, you know, you don't want to go off half-cocked, but what are some of the signs that you should be looking for in somebody else?
I think it's generally, if it looks like a dog and it woofs like a dog, it's probably a dog.
Right.
So you know when somebody's going off the rails. You can see it. You know, I've worked with people who have been alcoholics and they would arrive at work disheveled and disorganized and stuff like that. And, you know, I was very fortunate to be working in psychiatry and I was able to sit down and say, look, dude, something's going on. What's happening? Do you need help? Do you need a hand?
Mm.
And that's the thing, is it's never anything wrong with asking somebody, look, are you okay? Is there something I can do to help? But certainly, if they're more drunk than they're not. But things that we look in the medical field, we have a thing called the CAGE questionnaire, where we actually look and say, look, has anybody told you you should cut down?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever felt angry or anxious about somebody talking to you about your alcohol use? Have you ever felt guilt? And in particular, have you ever had to have alcohol in the morning to get up and go? Because that's an important sign that your body is tolerating alcohol to the point that if you don't have it, you're going to become very, very sick. And they call that the shakes or the delirium tremens.
Essentially taking it so in order to function, I guess, almost.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have to say that detoxing somebody who's chronically taking large doses of alcohol is a scary thing to do, and it involves hospitalization. It's not something you can do on your own. And this is why it's important that you have a friendly health professional on your side. Mm. Perhaps in some cases, the health professional may or may not have to be as friendly and may be seen as a bit of a wall, but isn't it better that you have somebody who's the bastard other than you?
So assuming that I know somebody who I think is or does have a problem with alcohol, with substance abuse, what are the recommended or can you recommend a few interventions that I might do or that tend to work, if you like?
Yeah. I am not a fan of, you know, those American-style interventions. I think they just upset more people. And I don't want to sit in a sewing circle of people crying about how pathetic I was at the Laird the other night.
Yeah.
I know I was pathetic. I was there too. I wasn't there at Laird, by the way. Really, I wasn't. But I think, I would approach the person one-on-one and say, look, I'm worried about you. Don't be accusatory. Don't be, tapping the table or anything. And say, look, I'm genuinely caring. I'm genuinely worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
And simple things like, you know, I've noticed that you are drinking most nights of the week, or I've noticed that you aren't able to go out to the clubs without a bump of something.
Yeah.
Then these are signs that are worrying. I was only told the other weekend that there's sex clubs in Sydney that now ban people from being there longer than 24 hours or longer than 12 hours to stop people who are using crystal meth from just wandering around the hallways all day. I couldn't think of anything more boring.
One of the perhaps before having that conversation is also arming yourself with information.
Absolutely. And there's lots of really good information, but certainly a simple Google search for drug and alcohol counselling, drug and alcohol services, that's a great place to start. Here in Melbourne, we've got some really good services. And if you're unsure and you're not sure where to go, go and see your GP.
Okay.
They are a great place to start.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would do. But it's all about having an open level of communication and not being accusatory when you're having that conversation, to come from the heart that you are genuinely concerned.
And it obviously does sometimes, it does take a friend to go, look, we're worried about you. Because somebody in the midst of this, substance abuse or alcohol abuse might not be self-aware enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other thing to be aware of is there's a lot of things that aren't substances, like sex. There are some people who are compulsively using sex as a soothing mechanism. And there's also things like gambling. We often, like certainly within the gay community, we don't generally target people who are compulsively using sex.
Mm.
And in a community where we're already being sort of oppressed and feel oppression, sometimes sex is the only way that people can feel loved. And that's a very scary thing. That's where I'm coming from.
Dr. George, thank you so much for returning to us on Hide and Seek.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And you're going to be joining us every month or so?
I hope so. Yes. And I'll be here.
I'm guessing you probably have a bit to do with our next guest.
Really?
Yes.
He is a very handsome bear, I must admit. He is on my radar for all sorts of swabbery.
Well, we'll be able to find out who that guest is very, very shortly.
Mystery, hairy fella.
Yeah. Dr. George, we'll see you around very soon.
Okay, see you guys. Bye.
That is Dr. George, the Healthy Bear, healthybear.com.
Healthybear.com.
Is where you can find out all about him, and it's in the thing. But anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah. I just need more time to put more buttons onto my screen, and then I'll be fine.
Okay, you're on Star Observer Digital and Joy 94.9, listening to Hide and Seek.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.